Feet to the Fire with the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Ostojanczyk, is the technical production of IPS Media Works and aired on the Jancic Radio Network of Stations. The views expressed in the following show are of the host, the guest, and the callers, and not necessarily the views of Interstreams Radio, IPS Media Works, the Jancic Radio Network, nor its advertisers and affiliates. The content of the following show, its accuracy, authenticity, and the ramifications of the use or application of said content is the responsibility of those speaking and listening, not the broadcast medium.
Hold on. Before you start waving around that freedom of speech thing, when you're in a crowded movie theater and you scream fire, you better be able to smell smoke. If you come on this radio show and you start saying inconsiderate things like that, you better have more behind you, pal, than just your thumb. I've been listening to talk radio for years, and one thing I just can't stand is when the host has to, like, push his way on the people, beat the callers into his way of thinking, extending his ego, or when the callers call in and say something so outrageous and the host lets it go unchallenged. The sign you're on the road to truth is the lack of contradiction. You want to find truth, you just don't simply believe somebody because of their authority or their degree, or you listen to what they say, you test it against reality, and you hold their feet to the fire.
We are back and we are live. I am James Ostojanczyk, the Black Host.
Black Host.
Black Knight of Talk Radio, Feet to Fire. I am sick, as you may have heard. And so it's going to be a fun night. It's a live show, so the show must go on. And we have a bunch of guests for tonight, so let me get into that first. One thing that's good about this voice is I get to do... Yo, Luke, use the force, Luke. Search your feelings, I'm your father. I get to do my James Earl Jones. Anyway, bottom of the hour, brand new Less Visible. Brand new Less Visible. He sent it back just a little while ago. And we pause this here along the night, so Less Visible, new Less Visible at the bottom of the hour. We have, we did have an idea for the healing. I've never really done this. It is an experiment. It has to do with the energy out of the oil well, which I'll get to maybe in a little bit when we talk here, about somehow sending energy to solve it or heal it or what have you. We will talk about that. That is hour number one. Hour number two starts out with Tammy Kennedy. She was on here a few times, April 17th, 2005. June 17, 2007, and June 24, 2007. Her website is nsirtech.com. She has a procedure, a chiropractic-type procedure, that will realign the spine of the neck, she claims. And, you know, I've heard other people say this, too, and they offer the services, that if your neck is not aligned, the energy cannot travel up and down your spine properly. Energy or electricity or what have you. And by simply tilting your neck, I forgot if it's forward or backward, we'll put that alignment in, which does all kinds of wonders for you. And, of course, for this, she has been harassed by the officials, not only in doctors, but in the chiropractic as well. She just recently won her lawsuits. They dismissed everything. So she is the victor in all of this. Her daughter was critically wounded or injured or ill. I forgot which. And they would not let her work on her in the hospital. And she died. She claimed if she could have worked on her, she would have lived. She believes that. And a lawsuit against her and them against them and whatnot. She dismissed her lawsuit. And they, after they dismissed theirs or something like that, she'll hear to talk about it. It's just kind of an update on that. I put links to the other website or the other shows so that you can listen to the particulars because it's not a very long segment. Again, her website is NSIRTech. That's TECH.com. James McKenney would have been here, except I fell asleep. I slept the whole day. I didn't send out the newsletters. I was just sick the whole day. And gosh, if I could have not done the show tonight, I wouldn't have. But it would take more work for me not to do the show than to do it. I could just sit here and talk for 4 hours. It would be easier than to do all the technical whim-wham it would be to put up a replay. So I just said, let's go for it. But I forgot to call James McKenney. So there won't be a segment this week, which is bad because I like to check in on it, hear what he's working on. So I do want to say something about, James McKenney has mentioned many times that no other people mapping the moon with high-res photos that can actually take pictures of, like, golf ball size rocks or whatnot have not shown a picture of the landing site, which he cites as a good evidence that there isn't a landing site. He maintains that if there would have been, it would show off the cameras of Japan and Russia and all the other ones to be able to focus in on it. I know they didn't put people on the moon, but they could focus in on that and kind of show off their cameras. And so NASA set something up last year for the 40th anniversary. And they came out there and took pictures, but the pictures were pretty poor. I mean, I remember commenting saying, like, I could see footprints. I shouldn't be able to see footprints because of the size of the landing module that was left behind. So it looked kind of hokey to me. I'd love to have some kind of photo expert look at it. Anyway, I'm saying this because I watched a special about this Japanese mapping mission, and it's funny. They went into the new, they said they showed from a great distance. They showed the Sea Tranquility, and then they showed NASA footage and so forth, but they did not zoom in on the stuff, and yet they went to the Tycho crater and zoomed in with amazing accuracy in a 3D image that allowed them literally, through computer assembling of the data, to literally fly in, down, and see very high-res pictures. I mean, I'm thinking like 30, 10 feet across or a foot across. I forgot the resolution, but they talked about these boulders being as big as houses and they went in closer. And those boulders, they look like rocks, but still, the limb would have been at least visible, I think, by that. So, McKenney's challenge still stands that they should have somebody else certify that. I mean, I'm not saying the astronauts are lying. I don't get into all that. See, that's one of the problems when you deal with issues, is you don't deal with the issue, you deal with the ramifications. Now, I say, to hell with the ramifications. Let's find out what the truth is, and then we'll deal with the ramifications. Let's not let the ramifications decide where we go look for truth. But anyway, so I did miss James this week. I will have to send him an email. And we'll get him in at least next week, next month, if nothing else. So we will be talking with Tammy, and perhaps longer, in that spot. So then we have This Week in Free Energy with Sterling Allen. He's here to give us the update. She'll be telling us more about the oil rig, which I'll be talking about in a minute. And then for the last 2 hours, we got last week's show was pretty heavy. It was pretty clear that there is a child molestation. I mean, beyond, molestation isn't even a word. I mean, it's like that word is so little. It's child pornography, sex slave, beating, just humiliating ring that was supported by high members of the government. I would say the government's not supporting it, but high members of the government is. Just like 9/11 and other incidences, it's not the government per se. It's people in the government. But this week we have Paul Hederlus, which will talk about a hybrid house. He's actually built a house that would be the analog to a car, only it's actually a better example of a hybrid, where it runs off the grid and only uses the grid in cases of emergency. Well, I don't see the word emergency. In case of the amount of sunlight or wind or all the alternative things are low, it uses the grid as a backup. Hold on a minute. So he'll be here to talk about that. It is in Montana. See, it's one thing to build a house that uses almost no energy in the tropics. It's another thing to build one in Montana because they get pretty cold and they get a lot of snow. So it's the old joke. It's easy to predict an earthquake in California, but predict one in Chicago, and now you got something. So he has built houses in the North Country that are energy efficient to the point that they run themselves. And if you look at these homes, they're huge. You're not living in some kind of a box, you know. It's actually kind of amazing. So we will talk to Paul in the last couple hours. Let me get back to the... I mentioned earlier that now if you have the Droid phone, you can listen to the show live. I have a link of four apps that you can listen to. It's aor.leadapps, or leadapps, leadapps.com. You can download that. I believe it's free. There's other ones I found out, too, for Droid. They're going to start coming out. Beware of the ones that provide you a pre-made package of shows. You want to be able to search for your own. And I believe that that has done it. Now, on the oil spills, if people are tuned in the website earlier, you should probably refresh. And if you're Firefox, of course, you'll have to clear your... Oh, look at mine didn't. I put up some extra news here about the oil spills. This is driving me nuts, this oil spill. Oil spill is probably one of the reasons why I'm ill. I got a cold. Because I felt like a depression coming on. I have a crazy neighbor who's walking around shooting birds out of the trees, cutting the trees that hang over our land. And the other day, Lucinda's very protective of animals. The other day he played animals screaming music. Not music, but sounds. I wasn't here for this. I was on the road, but my daughter heard it as well. Screaming animals as if they were being killed or at least disturbed. While him and his buddies sat in the driveway, which is right next to our house, laughing and urinating on the tree and whatnot. So I was joking to a listener, Grace, in an email that if there is MKUltra on my tail, it's him. So we got that going on. You know, everyone's got the problem, so I don't have to really tell anybody anything. Anybody who doesn't have any stress in their life now is, I don't know, check your pulse. You might not be alive, or you will have reached that enlightenment where nothing bothers you. But to me, shooting birds out of a tree is very bothering, very upsetting. We dealt with the police a little bit, and it's one of those things where you gotta see them and press charges and all this stuff. And then this oil spill thing's been really waiting on me, because I've been purposely watching the news and asking Lucinda, who she watches the news. She's a more regular type of TV person. And, you know, they're talking about it, but it's bad. But it's like, well, you know, they're still working on it. And today I saw the news where they said they're putting in a catheter that's going to suck out the oil. They're putting it down the pipe, and it's supposed to suck out the oil, and they're going to try and harvest that oil coming out and produce it into gas or whatnot on the fly to try and, you know, they're going to take it into storage and then bring it in as new oil to try and use it. Well, you know, I mean, that's good. You know, that's good. But it's still going to be leaking oil. And they tried doing special new things that none of it's working. And I also got some links sent in about, it's from the Times Online in UK, that they found some additional leakage that is not being mentioned. Now, I'm just quoting from the newspaper, and you can go there and look at it. I haven't got a chance to exhaustively do it. I passed it along. You see, I'm not a proofreader, excuse me, or an investigative journalist here. I'm a portal. So people bring up news stories, and all I do is try to make it so that it fits in our genre of talking, which is science, paranormal, spiritual, You know, I do Newsware or other stuff, but it's not the sole purpose of the show. But when stuff comes up to do it, of course we have it. We have it. You know, we got some people coming to talk about the Bilderbergs in a few weeks. But I pass it along, and one of the things that are bothering me about this oil spill is this is so humongous. They've given more coverage to Tiger Woods, and I can't think of the lady who had, a couple years back who died, and either it was a suicide or just a drug overdose or whatnot, and she had a child, and people were arguing for custody. I can't remember. Nicole, I think it was, or something. I don't know. I mean, we're talking, I mean, that's bad stuff, you know. But is it national news? This is an oil hole, many holes, which are bubbling out unprecedented amount of oil, with an unprecedented amount of potential oil to come out. In many places, that's so high pressure, they can't cap it. Even with new innovation, they can't do it. The new thing they tried to put a cap over, it weighed tons and tons of cement and steel. It didn't work. And it's like, hello, this should be like 24/7 on the news until it's fixed. I don't mean every channel, per se, because I'd probably blow my brains out if all I watch is that. But I think it's being downplayed. It's being downplayed. Now, I don't know, you know, I don't know what, if I got, you know, NBC, CNN online, they're saying, "Hello, James, tell us how we should cover it." I don't have an answer. But something sounds to me like it should be a hell of a lot more than what they're doing. Because it is potential to completely devastate at least the Gulf of Mexico region. Not to mention leaking out onto the ocean. Hello? And in reading in the Washington Times article, the Online Times, Times Online article, there are layers upon layers under the ocean of this stuff. So, a listener sent in a solution for this. We're using hay to, and I just put the YouTube up. It was just right before the show, so I didn't have a chance to watch it. Briefly, it was, I watched it a little bit briefly, about using hay to contain oil. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, and that's great. That's great. But if you don't turn it off, you can contain it, and eventually it'll overflow your container, you know, and it'll go around the container, and it's going to kill off. I already got pictures of dead dolphins. I got an email from a link. It's just terrible. Just terrible. You know, so to me, you know, that's the big thing on the planet. As, you know, at first I thought maybe it was diversion. Maybe I thought this was another quote-unquote 9/11. They're going to try to blame it on terrorists. Maybe they were, and things got out of hand. I don't know. You know, probably just simply they didn't understand it was going to be this pressure. It probably was what happened. They made a mistake of ignorance. And even though they may have overplanned, it wasn't enough because when, you know, it's like when they detonated the first nuclear hydrogen bomb, thermonuclear hydrogen bomb, they had a theoretical blast pattern. And until they did it, they didn't know. They almost killed everybody. I mean, the blast was so wider than they planned. It had a real wide margin anyway, and it still was dangerous to all. So sometimes when you do things, it just happens. But when the repercussion is so high, shouldn't we have some kind of a say in it? I mean, isn't this kind of our planet? I mean, like, and we're not the only ones on it. We may be the ones, the big bullies on the planet, but we have to also take care of it for those other beings who are here. Yeah, it sounds like I'm a tree hugger, and well, I don't know. I guess I am. I guess I'm becoming more sensitive to the native, the other animals and whatnot as I go along. Especially when I see knuckleheads like my neighbor shooting trees and birds out of the sky just for fun. I don't know. To me, this should be like, I don't care about like, well, you should imprison BP president. You should, you know, that's not going to stop the oil. Right now, it should be the entire planet should be working on this, us being the premier one since it's in our backyard and we okayed it and are going along with this. So it really bothers me, and I don't want to harp on it, and I'm not going to force feed people to see pictures on it, and I'm not here to do any of that. I'm just here to be a portal of information, somewhat responsible, in that I just can't let people say anything about anything. That's why a lot of guests that have appeared elsewhere haven't appeared on this show, not because they haven't or wouldn't. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. But I haven't asked because you have one person saying some outrageous stuff, and there's nothing to back it up. Well, you know, I understand whistleblowers in a classical sense. They come out from a company and say, hey, this is going on, but they usually come out with some kind of evidence or a means to obtain evidence. They just don't come out and say things. And some of the things that are being said are so outrageous, it's not that the burden of proof has to be higher. It's just there's got to be some, you know. Anyway, so I would love to, in fact, we're going to have a whistleblower from John Varan, I think his name is. I'm doing this off the top of my head, from Germany coming on, who was he was the guy behind the scenes faking the test, paying off the government, paying off scientists to help pass drugs. I want to say let's say a major drug company. We'll get the name when he comes. I don't want to start whipping out names. I don't have unlimited funds for lawsuits, even though I'm just saying it like accidentally. He'll be on talking. Now, this guy did it. He's got the proof. He's got the proof packed away and ready to roll. If he gets all of a sudden turns up dead, he's revealing the proof along the way as well. We'll see. I mean, I haven't had him on and talked to him yet, so we'll see. But that's how it's how he's doing, and that's the kind of whistleblower I want to have on, hands on and proof. So that'll be coming up in a little bit. Yeah, I got everything. YouTube. Let's see. Pearlsium. I was planning on doing some Pearlsium commercials, but this product could be, it could be like a magic, excuse me. Of course, yeah. Oh, so magic, why are you sick? Well, I don't think anybody can stop everything. But my blood pressure has been lowered by taking this Pearlsium. And I have found some other imitations on the web who will put fillers into it. And Pearlsium is actual pearls that are just ground up real fine. And you can just go to PeteTheFighter.com, click on the link, and you can learn more about it. It absolutely has lowered my blood pressure down to taking one half of my medicine, and I might even be able to get off that. We will see. We'll see if it's fixing things, not just helping. And also, I want to welcome Earth Pulse back as a sponsor to Feet to Fire. I don't have links up for them yet. I mean, again, today I was going to do all this stuff, and I just was in bed all day. But if you want to go to Earth Pulse, technologies.net, I think it is. When you are into it, there's a $50 off if you mention Feet to the Fire. And just remember that, excuse me, you can get $50 off the case, off the price, on the unit, which is a pulsing magnet at various frequencies, he's got mounds of proof, doctors, athletes, everybody, talking about how it helps. So these two products, I think, are probably my favorites that I have on here as far as that. You know, the seeds, of course, are the seeds. You have inner food with the inner food and all that. That's all great. So that's what I try to have on here. If we're going to have any kind of sponsorship, it's got to be worth something. So anyway, that is the beginning of the show. Again, excuse my voice. Headache is now coming from talking too much. I talked more in this last... I did in the last 48 hours, I think. We will continue live, Less Visible at the bottom, brand new Less Visible commentary. And we will continue to push on into the night, into the unknown, to beyond. Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othiancic, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. In today's busy world, greens often consist of the lettuce on a fast food hamburger. And even people who are health conscious and drink high quality pre or post workout protein shakes miss their greens all the same. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Inner Food by Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Food promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Inner Food is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Inner Foods helps you fight an acidic body pH, which has been shown to lead to poor health and even cancer. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Inner Food is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any Enter Health botanical banner and you're ready to order. Enter Food, building health from the insides out. When you hear the word addiction, perhaps you think of extremes such as alcoholics and heroin addicts.
But actually, millions of people are walking around with brain chemistry that causes feelings of sadness, emptiness, and emotional pain that have driven people to be addicted to tobacco, food, and even TV. Anything to momentarily divert the attention from those feelings, at whatever cost. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and weights still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet the Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Aroo! It's your ghost dog poet back in the slipstream, rising from the dead pools of a drowning culture, hovering in the saucer pod above the Gulf of Mexico. Through the cockpit lenses, via frequencies unknown to planet Earth, I can look down into the waters and see agents from Halliburton and British Petroleum performing mutual frottage in celebration of the most epic environmental disaster ever bestowed upon humanity, while attributing the blame to the public's thirst for oil and simultaneously perp-walking the government into capping all financial judgments against them at $1.380 and two coffees to go. But first, a word from our announcer, folks. I apologize for having played truant a time or two in recent weeks. I plead insanity, because that is what it felt like at the time. I had no idea what was happening to me and no way to function while in the process of attempting to understand it. Then, like an express train from the underworld, it came roaring up my spinal column and rang the bell at the top of my Sahasrara chakra. Yes, good people, I was having a major Kundalini episode. I had had one years before, and it had completely rewritten my schematic and led me through states of being that left their imprint on everything in my life until the present day. What I thought was one thing turned out to be something else. This time the situation is beyond my being able to talk about it, so I won't. But I will say that in the past 9 days, I've slept about a total of 10 hours on the outside. During this time, I've been filled with energy, taking care of many things that were not possible before. As I understand it, this is only the beginning, so we'll just have to see what the future holds when it turns into the present. It may or may not have been the right thing to mention this, but since it is the truth, and since I feel I have to tell you something, it leaves me with the only option I ever have. You can fill in the blanks. As eccentric as some of you may see me, I take my responsibilities seriously. If I say I'm going to do something, it's job one in my mind. My not having been here when I agreed to do so was a failing on my part. And I just want to say I will endeavor to do whatever it takes not to have this happen again. I want to thank you for your patience and support and the sincere kindness that I have received from the hearts of the listeners. You make it a pleasure to do this show, so let's get on with it. Where was I? Something about the psychopaths of oil, but they're just one more example of the collective madness of the culture of greed. Our precious wildlife, the least of which is more human than they, is destroyed by demons without conscience. Livelihoods are ruined. The wetlands are murdered. The beaches all look like Tripoli. As the horror movies continues to play and moves further and further out of control. The perpetrators accuse each other and their lawyers, weave the insulating net of motions filed and officials squeezed, so that in the end you will surely wind up paying them for the misfortune they had to suffer due to your dependency for oil and the inconvenience of selfishly working on your behalf and having to suffer the ignominy of it being suggested that somehow they were at fault while they have worked their bleeding fingers to the bone so that you and your thankless families and associates would have heat and light while they labored in the darkness without gratitude or love. Oh, Lord. Sorry. It's so true. We're so selfish and ungracious. Some of us offer so little support to these saints in our midst. They instigate wars in foreign lands to keep us safe from terrorism that they put so much time and trouble into manufacturing in order to steal the resources of the people they blamed it on so that we could have our oil at a only slightly increased quarterly fee. And let me pause and take a breath, get control of myself. I'm having a Glenn Beck moment. There's just so little justice in the world. These wonderful Israelis who suffered so much in the war and who still bear the stigma of having murdered tens of millions of Russians in the previous decades when they ran the Bolshevik machine. Then through a quiet industry of arm-twisting blackmail and threats, they managed to get their hands on a land full of people for a people who took the land. And now the Palestinians are refusing to migrate no matter how many of them are killed and tortured. It's just not fair. They're forced to maintain the Palestinians in camps that would make a Nazi blush, and the vile mainstream press, which they control, doesn't seem to have the power to convince, while that tool of the devil, the Internet, is used to tell the truth about them as if the truth ever did anyone any good. Government officials and heads of corporations do unspeakably evil things in order to bring about a global bloodbath of an Armageddon because there are too many useless eaters on the planet, and they really need the space, and people just don't want to go along with the program. Now Brazil, India, and Turkey and others are visiting with Iran while Russia arms Syria, and Turkey is putting up missile shields and saying no one is flying around near them on their way to attack Syria or Iran. Pakistan's not going along with the program. The Chinese are probably involved too. And how are you supposed to wipe out all those vermin who look like tiny dots on the computer screen in the drone operator's control room when they've got all those mountains to hide in? Obviously, we need to go in there with a fleet of L-2350 wheel loaders and level the entire Hindu Kush. Bin Laden's ghost is in there somewhere directing zombie armies of terrorists who are cleverly disguised as women and children. The real problem is that any of these people living in these mountain hideaways could jump on a commercial plane in a moment, land at JFK a few hours later, and be in their room at the plaza shortly after having cocktails and light supper while they put the finishing touches on their plans to blow up the Central Park bathhouse. Boathouse. Excuse me, Freudian slip. Anyway. All right, enough of that. I can do comedy, but it's not funny, is it? Now, to be honest, I don't know how this is all going to resolve itself, but I take comfort from the fact that no one else does either. I don't know what to do about it, and I also take comfort from the fact that no one else does either. I've got some ideas, and that's the point of this radio show and the blogs and whatever I engage in, because, for me, everything we do serves something, even if it is in the service of confusion, self-interest, or any of the conditions that exist in this world. Everything adds to or benefits one of them. The most basic service provided on this planet is self-interest. Self-interest can be direct or indirect. Most people have a job, or I should say most people used to have a job, and the work of that job certainly benefits the employer, but hardly anyone takes a job for that reason unless they own the company. They take the job and do the job to serve their own interests. I'm not putting self-interest down. I'm just pointing it out. It's my intention, though I am not always successful, that my efforts serve the interests of the divine. As it so happens, this is self-interest too, because there's no state of being and no condition on earth that is more valuable and satisfying as the presence and the company of the divine. And the more one works to serve and to seek the ineffable, the more they come into the presence. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the divine has total and absolute control over everything at all times, and I'm just as certain that it exists. Others may not share that view, and that is in their self-interest, I suppose. There are two possibilities of self, the individual and the impersonal, or you might call it the superpersonal. Behind every individual self is the self that is common to all. The job of life is to consciously unite the individual self with the ineffable self. Others may not share this view, and that is in their self-interest, I guess, or so they think. Most people want to do what they want to do whenever they want to do it. The paradise of their mind is filled with pedestrian retreats. It's a sad affair, but it is within the conditions of the operation of the universe to allow people the latitude to do what they want to do and be who they want to be as karma runs through its eternal cycles of collection and dispersal. You can think of collection being the addition of dust to the windshield through which reality can be perceived. Without dispersal, the dust can build up far beyond the point at which one cannot see through the windshield. This same dust builds up on the mirror in which we see our true reflection until we no longer know who we are and we see a distorted image. The mirror can become completely obscured and one then has no sense of reality at all and becomes immersed completely in the dream of the times. This becomes especially true in times of pervasive materialism like the one we're in now and explains why so many people are asleep and unable to process what is happening to and around them. They're completely in the thrall of the forces of delusion. These forces are often manipulated by individuals of malevolent intent who operate in groups to shape and control human perception. They're active in government, finance, religions, the media, and wherever there's an opportunity for them to exercise control over human behavior for their own power and profit. These are the circumstances we find ourselves in today. We are surrounded on all sides by lies and conditions of fear that are generated by these same forces. Nearly all of the terror attacks of recent times have been orchestrated and carried out by these forces and then blamed on individuals from countries whose resources they covet. The principal players of the deepest negativity that is affecting you and your neighbors is the financial and corporate internationals, multinationals who are indistinguishable from the legendary vampires reputed to rise from their coffins to drink the blood of their victims. Their activities and intentions are no different and the results are no different. These forces control the governments of the countries in which they operate, and the worst of them at the moment is the American government and the Israeli government, which also controls the American government. The country of Israel is not a country, but a criminal enterprise. It was created by the House of Rothschild in order to provide sovereign nation status to a band of psychopathic thugs. No more need be said concerning that. It's what it is and what they are. The treatment of the Palestinian people, who are the natural and original inhabitants of what is now called Israel, stands as irrefutable testimony to the barbaric and conscienceless nature of these Nazis. These demons in human form engineer terror attacks against themselves by launching firecrackers pretending to be rockets into empty lots of stolen land from which they ethnically cleanse the former residents. In order to justify attacking these people, they have locked away into ghettos, which become smaller and smaller until they are now the most populated areas on Earth. The conditions in these camps would make a member of the Khmer Rouge blush. They predicate their despicable behavior upon a Holocaust, which they have transformed into a victim industry that serves as both an endless source of revenue and a whiplash of guilt against all criticism. Anyone who wants to know the truth about what happened in Germany during the war has only to read the official Red Cross report. They were there. They extensively cataloged what took place. They were there. End of story. On the other hand, these same international criminals are the descendants of the people responsible for tens of millions of deaths in the Soviet Socialist Republics due to their membership in the Cheka, in which they made up two-thirds of the members. This is irrefutably documented. The Red Cross was not allowed to enter the areas of continuous mass murder performed by these reptiles there, and so no help could be given. The Nazis did allow the Red Cross full access to their camps, so it appears I've been insulting them by comparing them to the other. What I'm saying here is true and backed up by hard data and the testimony of countless witnesses. We should all possess immense gratitude that there is a God and that the hour has come for resolution of so many horrible activities. The hour is at hand, and all evildoers should take heed of the opportunity to turn away from their former behavior. The window of mercy is going to close at some point, and that's going to be it. Wake up, or you will understand the true meaning of nightmare. Because you will wake up, like it or not. You will wake up, or you will be awakened by whatever means are necessary. The controlled lies of appearances that have dominated the human mind for so long is about to be undone. It has been in operation for so long that so many have come to believe that there is no God and that the temporal forces are all there is. Au contraire, God is a living, conscious force that permeates existence and which can alter the fabric of reality at any time. Existence is made out of the body of God, who also controls it at every level. Life is a test in which we are exposed to different possibilities. According to how we respond, so is our destiny written. Very soon, we're going to see direct evidence of the truth which has been concealed behind appearances. It is going to come center stage. You can believe this or not. Makes no difference. It's on the way, and belief is coming with it. It is very difficult for the human mind to grasp that every thought is read, every word is heard, and every deed is seen, but so it is. This eternal and omniscient entity sees through our eyes and resides in our hearts and minds, whether we are aware of it or not. And it is coming not only outside of us, but inside of us, sweeping before it every negative thing, every hidden agent of the darkness, every lie and every obstacle is being driven from the inner planes. Humanity will see, by degrees, according to the willingness of each of us, dependent on the degree of our awareness, which is dependent upon the degree to which we have given our attention to what is real or unreal. It's a perfect system, and it's going to make itself known on all levels. What do you do? I don't know. I know what I do. I try to focus my awareness upon the presence of the only reality there is and remind myself in every moment that it is in everything that surrounds and fills me. I make it the centerpiece of my life, and I tell myself throughout each day that nothing, nothing is more important and nothing is more real. I go through my days and I tell myself that everything I do has to do with God, and everything that happens in my life is an expression of God operating in my life. Every event, every detail, no matter how seemingly inconsequential, is God interacting with my soul. Eventually it becomes automatic. It becomes deeper and deeper. Its nature and its being is love. Love beyond the ken of the mortal mind. But he who strives with all his heart will attain it and no longer be mortal. It is the great pleasure of the divine to offer you the kingdom. It is up to you whether you say accept. Free will is the greatest blessing or the most terrible of curses, depending on how you spend it. Forget what religion tells you and ignore everything but the voice within. If you cannot hear it, then strive harder. Strive with all your might and you cannot fail. Take it for what it's worth or ignore it. You can't get there unless it is the supreme and overriding concern of your being. The greater the intensity, the more rapid the speed. As the Bhagavad Gita states, success is speedy for the energetic. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I'll see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may the light within come forth and encircle you with its protection and its love, and may you find your way home to the heart of the living truth. Until then, aloha and aloha.
You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is.
Are you getting your greens? I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Inner Food by Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Food is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Inner Food is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts. Not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but impotent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Inner Food is a full 400 grams, 33% more for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, feedtofire.com, and click on any Inner Health Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on Feet to the Fire. Inner Food, building health from the insides out.
This reality is going on without me. On without me, I'm so happy. Clouds are lifting. It's easy to be free. Easy to be free in the evening. Hi, I'm Ann McWilliams, and you're listening to Feet to the Fire with the Black Knight.
Well, you know, we had a suggestion. Suggestion sent in that we do some kind of a healing energy segment for the oil spill. And it was pretty interesting because what came to my mind was, if the oil spill just stopped now, you know, it does a lot of damage, but you know, how do we know that if it got worse, there'd be bigger change in this world? Like if it got terrible, there'd be a big change in the world. But if it got stopped too early, then it would be just ignored. And that brings me back to when we do this healing anytime, we always say highest best good for those involved. When we do healing for someone, we don't ask if they're bad or good. We step in with compassion and help the individual by holding them up to the divine to work the energy through to remap the energy for the highest best good. Some of the people who have gotten well, actually a lot have gotten well, some amazingly, some have gotten peace and died because it was their best to die, but what we have done was, our energy has had them get their self together and have peace in the passing. So in that aspect, what we do at all times is we always think of healing life, we'll call it normality in that, you know, having all limbs and organs functioning. I mean, that's what we look at as being healthy and so forth. So it's really no different than if we would send energy for this. If this catastrophe has a higher best good in running its course, well, then, of course, we will submit to the highest best good for all those involved. If the catastrophe is just waiting, it's just an open sore waiting for humans to step up and intervene with it, then it would, that's what we're supposed to do here. So there's really no difference on it, and we'll do that now. So you start taking your breaths and all that. Forgive me being I'm got a bad cold, probably not as bad as I sound, though I don't know. I don't know how I sound, really. But you want to take your deep breath and hold it and exhale. And we're going to look at this catastrophe and all the wildlife and all the people who live around there, all the businesses and commerce which keep people going, and the effect it has on the wildlife throughout the world. And we look at this potential and see that this could be earth-changing, earth-shattering. Large portion of the planet could be killed. Economically, people can be ruined. Their houses inundated, driven out by the smell, if nothing else. And, of course, we want the highest best good, especially, you know, for others. We think of the sea life that is going to be slaughtered by this. Mammals such as the porpoise, which is rather intelligent, going to be choked in this thing. It's all because the oil companies wanted to dig more, but we are buying the oil. No one buys the oil, they won't be digging. So don't just put it off on the oil companies. It's just their thing. Yeah, it is their thing. They made decisions on it, but we can change things tomorrow by standing up as a group of people on one hand and demanding change. And on the other hand, by praying and sending energy, healing energy and love to an insight and solutions to all those involved. So that's what we're going to do now for the second part. And then you can do as you can in the first. So take a deep breath, hold it, and exhale. You're going to see the light building inside you. You're like the bellows of God's energy. You breathe in and you breathe out. And every time you breathe in, the light grows. Every time you breathe out, the light grows. As you fill your space with energy directly from the divine, we have a divine pipeline. And that pipeline has pure energy with itself, anything and everything. And we're calling upon that at this point. And as we bring that light in and exhale, eventually you're going to be shining like a little star yourself as you're all full of this sunlight, loving God energy. And when you exhale, that next time it permeates around you and cleans the area around you in our own little space, our own little womb that connects us to and protects us from the rest of the universe. And then as that light grows, you're going to permeate that membrane and turn on and shine onto the world. That's kind of a short version. New people, I'll apologize for that with time constraints, but You can listen to some of the other ones, too. But right now, we're going to take this energy, and we're going to we don't have anything to put in to visualize as a person. So what I would like you to do is to allow your mind to open, and all you people out there are going to get different images. Some will think of sea life. Some may think of the workers trying to plug the oil. Some will think of people on the side. Some will think of the good people in the companies trying to solve the solutions. Some will think of the earth. Think of the crack where it's coming out. Put energy there to seal the crack. Some will be thinking of the time that it will take for them to run this course and to shorten this time out of mercy for all those who will be harmed by it. Some may be thinking of how this may change the face of how we do things on this planet. You realize that, yes, we can destroy the ecosystem. Everyone will pick something their own, and you revision that in your mind. And now you take that breath, and you send this energy. Send the energy, and the energy is going to go with the highest, best good for that individual or those individuals or that subject matter in this situation. Highest, best good. Repair, rejuvenate, love. Always our intention. But we want the unbelievable precision clockwork of God and the universe and all the wheels he has turning to have this happen in the highest, best good at the highest, brightest time. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. I mean, I can come up with platitudes. I can come up with a general plan that I think sounds good, but each individual case is specialized. So as we are sending this energy to the individuals or places or things or concepts, this energy is going to charge them up. It's going to, if it's biological and whatnot, you can actually heal. Or maybe these dolphins are alive. You can help them, guide them out to a new location. Or somehow prepare them to deal with these things. Or if they're people, again, there's some means of support or help for people. Or wisdom to those trying to solve the problem. But somebody who is actually doing this in evil, you know, may their heart be weighed with the guilt and of the light on their darkness. We want them to change. We're not looking to put anybody into hell. We're looking to prevent us from all descending in there in some way or form with tragedies like this, all because of, you know, greed of some type. Send these energies. We change the polarity of this problem from being a catastrophe to potential for change, so that all these things and the people and animals that may die in this, and industries that may die or whatever, would have their lives done for a change that as we look back and from the future, we can point our finger and say, this is the day the world changed. It can happen. We need a critical mass of people thinking that and doing that. People who have this tape can download this this file. Send it out to everybody. Start your own prayer groups. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be what I'm doing. Just do it so that we're sending the highest, best good. Take those people. Take the animals. Take the environment. Take the planet. Take the industry. Take the hearts of the evilest, most darkest men and either turn them or stop them. But change has to come. And let God, the higher power, source, be the one in charge to make the decision for the highest, best good. Yes, I know we have free will. But we have free will to turn back to God and say, what do you think? We want you to chart the next course in our free will lives so that we can have the highest, best good for all those involved. That's what this planet's supposed to be. Keep on charging this energy, sending it and sending it. And think positive, think love. When you think of the oil disaster, whenever you think about it, whenever you hear it on TV, just send positive, send love, send a healing. Feel your heart just broaden and get wide with this love, this healing energy. And just keep sending it into there. Don't get caught up, like I was talking earlier, by getting bummed out by it. Don't get caught up by that. God allowed this to happen for whatever reason. we may have caused it, but God allowed it. Whether it be God be collective or individual, someone had to allow it to happen. And the way my universe is constructed, all happens for a highest good in the long run. And maybe this is our time to wake up, put this energy into the situation. All right. Sorry for the coughing. But that's what we can do. And kind of as usual, this is you can download this, send it around, and link to it to whoever you want, so that people can send this change, this wave. Is there any going to be any change in this planet? It's going to come from not only people actively doing something about it, but having it do it in the right energy. If you don't do it in love, then it's like a noisy, brassy, tinkling sound. And it's not it. We have to get to love first, and all everything else come. We'll be back live right after this.
You are listening to this program on the IPS network of affiliate stations. Stay tuned for some local affiliate information. All right, the phones are now cleared and open to take the next caller for our prize giveaway, sponsored by Margie's Beef and Gyros Restaurant in Westmont, Illinois. You must be 18 years or older and have to pick up your prize in person at Margie's within 30 days. The odds are great. The trick is simple. Just call in, and if we answer the phone, you win. 888-863-2722 is that number. When you eat at Margie's, you are a winner every time with their great food and good deals, like their special discount for cash buyers. Every Monday and Tuesday from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m., an order over $30 paid with cash receives an instant discount of $6. It is a great way to break the boring microwave dinner routine without breaking your bank. And this is not a limited selection of items. This cash discount applies to anything they offer. And while you're there, don't forget to pick up the special coupon book with $126 in meal savings from now till December 2010. The coupon book is free, the deals are real, and the food is great. Like me, do you prefer vegetarian or vegan items? Margie's has you covered with sandwiches and dinners made to order. Margie's is located at 6410 South Cass Avenue, just south of 63rd Street on Cass Avenue in Westmont, Illinois. Their phone number is 630-852-3260. Better yet, just surf over to eatatmargies.com for all the information you need, from menus to videos. Remember to call in at 888-863-2722 and win every hour on the hour at Feet to Fire. Choose from a prize list that includes a Hamilton Beach delicate clothes dryer that doubles as a great house fan, a Hamilton Beach blender, a Homedic Shiatsu massager, an infrared massager, percussion massager, a paper shredder, speakerphone, 33-piece kitchen combo set, cookware set, stainless steel flask, inkjet printer cartridges, power stapler, durable ring binder, plus more. View pictures and description of the prizes at duraprint.com. Simply click on the radio show video archives and links button on the left menu, and then click list of prizes with detailed descriptions on the right-hand list. That's at duraprint.com. You can choose one prize valued at $50 to $100. You must be 18 years or older, and you have to pick up your prize in person at Margie's within 30 days. One of each prize on the list is available each show. The odds are great. The trick is simple. Call now, and if we answer the phone, you win. 888-863-2722. Call in and win. From Feet to Fire, Duraprint.com, and Margie's Beef and Gyros on the web at www.eatatmargies.com.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations. Several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com. And check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose direct chat with James, or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
That's one thing about music, it means many things to many people. I like some of these bumpers because they have that effect. Well, our next guest is Tammy Kennedy. Now, if you've been listening since 2005, you've heard her out a few times. I have the links to the original shows so people can listen and find out the background, because I'm not going to be able to go through the whole thing in a short time we have here. I mentioned in the opening that basically she, from her grandfather, has inherited a way to adjust your spine in such a way as to open up energy flow, and we'll get into that. Others have said they've done this thing, and that's not to take away from Tammy or her grandfather, but what it does show is that if something could be discovered and works, you know, somebody's going to discover it. So it's not some kind of an esoteric wishful, you know, makeup or whatever. But that being said, there were those in the medical establishment, even the chiropractic, surprisingly or not, who did not want this information out there. And I mentioned that her daughter had died in a hospital, and they prevented her from helping him with her techniques. And she died, and perhaps she wouldn't be alive today if she was allowed. And after that time, there was you know, lawsuits and oppression and all kinds of nutty stuff that has happened. And Tammy called a few weeks ago and said that she had been vindicated in court. And I thought maybe we can have her back on to kind of give us an overview and a wrap-up of all this that happens. Plus, talk a little bit about that technique. Her website is nsirtech.com. And welcome back to Feet to Fire, Tammy Kennedy.
Hello.
And how are you doing today?
I'm okay. As you said, it's been a tough ride. I've been trying to pull up the internet here to even get on the website, and I'm having some trouble, so I'm just going to have to wing it, basically.
Okay.
But you've got the website address. It's N as in Nancy, SIRtech.com. My grandfather was born in 1902 and graduated from the Palmer School of Chiropractic in 1925. And about 35 years later, he basically became disillusioned, realized that what they had taught them in the school was not accurate. So he set out on his own in research, and he had actual spines to look at, bones and such, and he discovered things in the actual skeleton that wasn't being taught in a textbook. So once he kind of wrapped his brain around the fact that what they taught him was wrong, he said it took him 10 years to get, you know, accustomed to the fact that he'd been conditioned wrong. He found the strength to stand up and say, you're talking about a sacred cow. You know, this vertebral subluxation, which is the chiropractic subluxation, is an error. And they define it as a partial dislocation or a effect of the spine. And he realized there was actual two bones, the head on top and the pelvis underneath, that put stress on the spine that caused it to shift, twist, and distort. And the chiropractor is looking at the compensation, the secondary, as if it's a primary cause. So he figured out how to put the head on top to perfect center and the pelvis underneath, leveled out the base, and took the stress off the spine. I think we've discussed that before.
Yeah, you know what I find it kind of fascinating, it kind of reminds me about the Vedic Kundalini awakening, where they have a metaphysical, a snake, we'll say, that's at the coil at the base, and it works its way up to connect the energy. And while that may be not literally applicable, it does say, like, if you adjust the pelvis and the spine, you will have your body lined up, and who knows what that metaphysically can do.
Right. We are gods in the flesh, I guess you could say. I've come to believe that. I wasn't taught that by the regular church, but I've come to believe that. Of course, we have to subject ourselves to an ultimate authority. But if we tune into it and our heart is pure, then who knows what can be accomplished. I believe my daughter, always said she died on the half-life of the Christ. She was almost 17 years old, and I've heard of the Christ energy. And I personally believe at this point in time that she came and died like Christ did, or Jesus back when, or Yeshua. You know, I'm not going to say she was the only one. I'm saying that, you know, it still is going on because our human species hasn't figured it all out yet. The experiment continues, basically, as a professor would tell the class. I've heard that before, too. But as far as the experience of what happened in the hospitals, the fight was not actually about whether or not I was going to be able to do the work. That battle was more of the old MD versus ND variety, which is the naturopaths and the medical doctors. They wanted to prophylactically anticoagulate her, which was basically to protect her from a blood clot because she's bedridden because she has these traumatic injuries, and she had broken back and other soft tissue injury. And I wanted to use cayenne pepper, and they wanted to use Coumadin. And everybody knows, I've read about it recently, Coumadin is a killer. And I talked to, he was a classmate, also a pharmacist, excuse me, and I told him, you know, consulted with him about her care. And ultimately, a pharmacist would have decided, you know, which one was more productive or safe, and he told me that he felt like I had the safer solution. And when I brought that to the doctor's attention, who was an osteopath, he refused to listen to the pharmacist, so released what I'd heard. He never consulted. I'm not going to get into at this moment in time the conspiracy behind what happened to her as far as the osteopaths, but I just know that chiropractic is a plagiarized version of osteopathy, and if I can affect the chiropractic industry, I'm going to affect the osteopathic industry and hence medicine as a whole. So I don't know exactly what his intentions were, except to say he was not a very good physician, and he basically had his sights on me and didn't take care of his charge, my daughter. I was trying to protect her, and they made all sorts of errors within 24 hours after the time they supposedly saved her life from the initial impact. They almost killed her with a morphine overdose. I caught it. The more I was right about what she needed and the more mistakes they made, I was trying to protect her, like I said, the more errors they made. It was political and egotistical, I guess you could say. A lot of posturing going on. Nobody listened to me. In the end, she's over-medicated and dehydrated because she'd been thrown up for 3 days. And she's over-medicated on Lovenox and Coumadin, two powerful blood thinners. And I'm asking for the antidote, which is vitamin K, to bring back the overdose. And I'm asking for support, which is an IV for nutritional support and hydration. And they refused to give her either one of them. In the critical hour, the medical doctor who would have been, you know, responsible for making the diagnosis walked out on us, and, you know, she knew exactly what was going on. She was begging to get up and walk. It wasn't like she was vegetative. She knew what was going on. And they ripped us apart. About 2 minutes after they ripped us apart, she coded. 2 hours went by, and finally I guess they gave her enough adrenaline to kill a mule. Still never gave her the IV and gave her another blood thinner on top of it, which was heparin. That never found its way into the medical record, but found its way onto the bill. And then they pronounced her dead. And I pushed past them all, got to her side, called her name, said, "August, come back to me." And her heart began to beat. And, you know, they had done so much damage that I basically had to let her go. After all of that was done, and I was in shock, then they had a criminal pursuit to try to pin her death on me. So basically, health care is not what it should be. And I've always heard about people being threatened, you know, and there was basically no threats. They just acted and moved quickly. And we were in harm's way. I mean, my daughter was extremely vulnerable. So she was entirely aware. I mean, she answered every question from the beginning. They told me that she would not be, you know, neurologically. She was. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And she could move her whole body. She could feel her whole body. And, I mean, she was basically crushed. I mean, she, you know, threatened to bounce off the wrecking ball to hit her, jump up, and run out of there. And I, up until that point, I didn't even know that my grandfather's work could have possibly contributed to that kind of an acute insult. And even the doctor, the osteopath I mentioned, he conceded that he couldn't say that it wasn't my grandfather's work that was responsible for getting her to the hospital to start with, to give her a chance to even have an opportunity to survive. So, of course, that's not going to be said too loudly by him, but
well,
I do know that's what he told me. So.
Well, what happened? There was some kind of court proceedings after this, wasn't there?
Yes. My sister's an emergency room nurse. She shook the pillars of health care so hard in Oklahoma. That, long story short, three nurses' licenses, well, let's see here for a second. The Department of Health came in and demanded improvements of the hospital, cited the hospital for nursing deficiencies as well. The Joint Commission came in and demanded even more improvements. Three nurses' licenses were suspended. Three doctors had internal actions taken against them by their boards. And we went down and talked to the Trauma Council, and they're trying to put a face on the problem, and OU Health Sciences Center was in jeopardy. And I know just a young man sat down next to me and said, "Where'd you come from?" I said, "We came from Enid, Oklahoma." He said, "They absolutely will not call us from there. We've done everything we can to get them to call, incentives and such, and they will not call us." And I asked him who he was, and he was like the main guy behind the whole program. And about 10 days or so after we got back, sure enough, the helicopters are on the roofs of the hospitals, and we have a big old write-up in the newspaper. You know, we got a new service in Enid. And I know it was our, you know, experience and our fight that caused it to happen. So the health care in Enid is better now because of us. People are not being allowed to know why the law is so messed up and written funny that even the bereaved, I'm not allowed to know what the improvements are that was done, you know, because my daughter died. I'm not allowed to know under the law, but I know that there was improvements made. So
well, that's funny. I don't want to let you know what improvements are made because it might reflect on the daughter's death being their fault, and we couldn't have that because you know, we might have. Now, were there charges against you somehow making you complicit with her death?
Well, they never charged me. They were investigating. All I know is I spoke at my – I was the minister at my daughter's funeral, and it was so strange. At the very time with the funeral starts, the police department pulls in the first nurse to ask them about what I'm supposed to have done. And, of course, I went all the way through all these nurses, and there was nothing that anybody saw. And it was just a lot of smoke and mirrors and, you know, an attempt to, as my sister said, CYA, cover your ass, basically. And best case scenario, they were just trying to get out of being responsible. Worst case scenario, it was a murder and, you know, execution style and a cover-up. I don't know which way the needle, you know, points. You know, I preferably based on my experience in the moments, the 3 weeks that I fought for her life, my compass points more toward the conspiracy plot, but I can't prove it. I just know it's possible, and ultimate power, you know, corrupts absolutely. So absolute power corrupts absolutely.
So there were some lawsuits or something came after this, and that you were acquitted or exonerated of some type or something?
I was never charged. Like I said, they just tried to pin her death on me, and when my sister stepped up, the emergency room nurse, and got involved, suddenly and very quickly, the tables were turned. They were under the microscope by the Joint Commission and the Department of Health and the Medicare program, and, you know, the hospital's accreditation or licensure, whatever, was all in jeopardy. And anyway, like I said, the Joint Commission demanded improvements. The Department of Health cited them for nursing deficiencies. Nurses' licenses were suspended. Doctors had actions taken against them, you know. Of course, they're all unofficial. That's the thing. It was such a horrible experience, and yet still, and this is the way it is in the world, is that the system minimizes any involvement when there's even a death, because, and I don't understand this, it's like they're thinking that if they're going to take actions against any doctor, that they're going to not have enough doctors, is, you know, what the big scare seems to be. But it's like, you know, one bad apple spoils the barrel. The barrel doesn't make the bad apple good. So, you know, you need to get rid of the bad doctors in order to keep the barrel, you know, edible, basically, is an analogy. So, but we did file the lawsuit. I think that's what you're getting at. And it was a civil case. I couldn't ever get the criminal pursuit, you know, accurately focused, because they don't want to go against the doctors. And yet even the district attorney here told me, she said, had I stood in from your vantage point, I might could see it if I had experienced it. But she didn't want to believe it, was the thing. But that's what she told me again. So we got the civil case filed. The hospital paid me. And the doctors, all I know is my attorney told me that the insurance company's attorney had advised the doctor to settle this, is what got back to me. And the insurance is written up where the doctor has to agree to the settlement or the insurance company can't pay. So here's the insurance company wanting to pay me and telling the doctor she needs to get paid. And the doctor's, you know, egotistically saying, no, I'm not going to do it, and standing his ground. And so, you know,
would be pretty much acknowledging negligence on his part, though, wouldn't he?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I mean, in essence, if he would have signed that, he would be acknowledging negligence on his part, I would imagine.
Yeah, he would be, basically. So he doesn't want to do that. They figure that they can just put up a bunch of smoke and mirrors, divert the issues. You know, in Garfield County, the statistics are, well, when we filed the lawsuit, 9 out of 10 juries were going to find on the side of the doctors and the hospitals anyway, just because they didn't want to believe it. Now the number's down to 7 out of 10. So it's a conservative area. I had a large offset. There would have had to be a considerable sum awarded in a jury trial for, you know, even the attorney who might represent me to get paid. So basically the system is busted, medical, legal, you know, it's all broken. And so it would cost substantially to try to, you know, hold the doctor responsible in a civil case. So I've recently decided to let the case go. That's the reason why I'm finally contacting you about my grandfather's work, because now I can talk freely and openly. And before, I was told by my attorney not to say anything. So
I see. So
yeah.
You had the lawsuit, and you decided to let it go and move on. And
recently.
So now you are
talking
about this. Well, okay. Well, that's...
Right. That's the thing.
That's a short, very short version. And if people want to get more information, they can listen to the back archives, which are up online, for more information also.
Yeah.
You know,
so. And as far as the case with the state, because the state sued me for practicing chiropractic, and I think you knew about that. I won that in almost 2 years ago now. So it was quite the experience. 6 months after they killed my daughter, then now, after they've been supposedly investigating me for, you know, several years, when I've been toe-to-toe with the board for, you know, as long, now, oh, well, she's practicing chiropractic, blah, blah, blah. It was a power play and a lot of dirty politics going on, basically. And anyway, it took me $50,000 of my grandfather's estate, 4 years of my life, my reputation in Enid, Oklahoma, and, you know, anyway, I won. And even then, when I did win, then the press, who would, you know, smear my name publicly if I lost the case, refused to tell the truth of the matter on the, you know, verdict that I'd won. They ran the story originally on an affidavit, and then they refused to run the story, the news.
No, it's interesting when you have the publicity talking about this whole case. And then when the solution comes out, and then it's on page 207 of the page, or if all, it's like, I think there should be a visible fairness in that, regardless of who won or who didn't, that if there are a lot of hoopla made about the case, then a lot of hoopla should be made about the results, so that people are made aware of the final results. Especially if you're coming out innocent, it's very important.
Oh, yes.
Very important,
yeah.
that knowledge be out there with as much fervor as it was the suspicions, because your reputation, not only as a human being and a mother, but also in your field, it would be hindered by that.
And that's what they were trying to do. That was their effort. They were trying to put up the smoke and mirrors, make it seem as if I was dangerous regarding my grandfather's work, when always I've been, you know, behind closed doors, I've been working on the doctors. So it was a huge scheme, I guess you could say, to try to suppress this research that should, hopefully, God willing, supplant chiropractic effect osteopathy and change medicine as a whole. It really should do that, because I've seen miracles take place. And it's not, as you said, an esoteric or wishful thinking thing. It's an actual science that's based on physicalities, you know, that has been documented and proven. And my grandfather, he tried to teach it in the world. He traveled, you know, different states. I know there was a doctor down in Texas, I think he was an osteopath, that talked about so there was so much scientific merit here, is how he put it. And still, it hasn't found its way into the colleges. It has not been approved.
You were here in Chicago speaking once, and I could have came down and had this done, and I couldn't because of where I'm at and what I was doing at the time, and I regret it to this day, because I could have had this procedure done. Is this something that's done once, or is this something that needs to be done as a tune-up?
It depends on the case.
All right, well, let's stop there. We'll come back with
okay.
that after the break.
Okay.
Continue. We're talking with Tammy Kennedy from Oklahoma about this this procedure of realigning the spine and the pelvis, which is not only very healthy, but also, I think, this is my words, that it may implicate metaphysical action as well, which, of course, would explain why the powers that be wouldn't want us to have this procedure. Anyway, we'll continue. Come back live right after this. It's okay to talk about these things behind closed doors, but not by regular people, not in the open. But anyway, we'll be back. Are you getting your greens? Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Inner Food by Inner Health Botanicals. Inner Food promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Inner Food is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers, and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Inner Food is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but potent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice, and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Inner Food is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, InnerStreams Radio.
talkradio.com and click on any EnterHealth botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on InterStreams Radio. EnterFood, building health from the insides out.
Most people think of addictions relating to drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. However, obsessive compulsive actions taken to excessive levels have the same biochemical goal. They stimulate the creation of natural feel-good hormones, but at a cost that causes more harm in the long run. And prescribed drugs are often many times more dangerous and addictive than the symptoms they aim to treat. AddictionSupplements.com have proven supplements that supply the brain with the nutrients it needs to naturally rebalance the biochemical system, which is the real cure for the real cause. AddictionSupplements.com has cutting-edge supplements designed by real science and real doctors, such as Dr. Charles Gant, MD. Interested in turning your life around? Point your browser to AddictionSupplements.com.
Make sure you stay tuned, because you're listening to Feet to the Fire.
I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio and creator and host of Feet to the Fire. Have you ever noticed the high volume of commercials on most talk shows? It is to the point that it seems like topics are the bait and the guests are the fillers to sell products. I've made a conscious decision to keep disruptions to a minimum and provide more uninterrupted time for the real reason you tuned in. You hear guests with more time to make their points, allowing me and listeners to intuitively, intelligently formulate questions by having less interruptions to break the stream of consciousness. The commercials that are heard are thus presented in a more receptive and fertile environment for consideration. If you have goods or services that you feel can benefit our audience, please let us know. Email me direct at james@innersights.com or call us toll-free at 888-863-2722. Feet to the Fire may be free to listen to, but it is not free to provide. Let us help us to get your message out as you help us to get ours.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Du lytter til Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With Black Knight.
All right, as I said earlier, normally in this segment, James McKenney would be here, but I was sick. I came home last night. I actually had a good time over at friends, former band member's house, having like a Jill Jam and stuff. I started feeling sick then. When I got home, I went to sleep. Boy, I slept all day. So I missed my appointment to record James McKenney. So I apologize for that. It will be here next month. I'll send an email, set that up. But we have Tammy Kennedy right here talking about this procedure. What is this procedure actually called? What would the name be?
The new field is called nerve signal interference removal. And it's been around, I'd say, 40, 50 years. I can't really say for sure. I just know that my grandfather broke from what he'd been taught. And so at the moment in time where he changed his thinking is when the beginning of the field basically started. I know there was a moment in time where he actually quit the field. He got out of, you know, being a chiropractor altogether, went down to Texas, had another business, and then that business failed. He got back into it again because, you know, he knew what to do, basically had his license, I think, still, and probably some clientele and reputation. And he decided that he was going to dig it out, you know. He understood how to learn, you know, and he had the bones available. He studied those, and he found these, you know, truths that are still yet to be taught in the textbooks. And then he based his methods on what he discovered from the spine. So nobody showed him any of this. He saw it on his own and then worked it out through physics, how to move the bones to cause the articulations to line up properly. And like chiropractic is seeing the secondary compensation as a main cause. They talk about this vertebral subluxation. He said that's a sacred cow, it needs to be destroyed. And they're wanting to manipulate the vertebra, and they get some palliative relief. You know, they might accidentally fix the joints in question, but they don't really know what they've done, and they can't repeat it.
What is the name for this adjusting the head and pelvis? Is there a name for that procedure?
That's a specific correction. If I talk to a chiropractor, it depends if he's friendly or not, and there are some out there that are friendly. I've been quite amazed to find a group that are fascinated that I beat the board, and they just like to be able to feel the strength to let their licenses go because they don't need their license to do this work because it's brand new. I am the only one in the world that really knows how to do it as far as the totality of it is concerned. The state put me on the witness stand and basically try to extract the research. If you read the record, it'll show the Attorney General's office asking me how it's done. And it's like, well, I'll be happy to teach you for a fee, but I'm not going to let you have it for free, basically. You know, you're going to have to submit to my authority because I learned from the master. And I don't see why they have such a problem with that when they've got money coming in hand over fist. You know, I asked for a $5 million fee to teach them, and I think there's like 70,000 chiropractors in the United States or maybe some in the world. I don't even know how many. But anyway, 70,000 approximately. It would have boiled down to less than $75 a head if they would have split it up, you know, evenly across the group. I had a friend talk about research and development money. He said, do you know what they're paying? I'm like, yeah, I kind of have an idea. He said, you should have asked for five times that. They could have.
You know, some people listening at this point might go like, well, wait a minute. Why are you going to charge this kind of money to help people? But I want to say this, that the big pharma companies are actually fabricating, lying, cheating, stealing, and making up chemicals that cause harm and get paid billions and billions of dollars for it. So before anybody, I'm not saying anybody would do that, but in case that was in their mind, they might want to put billions of dollars for one pill in a sea of tens of thousands of them versus being trained from this procedure for one time.
Right. The liver makes, chemical substances that the body uses. I can't tell you all the technical names of it. I'm not a medical doctor, and I have looked at it some, but it's been a while since I've looked at it. But basically, the body heals itself. The chemistry cabinet, your medicine cabinet, is your liver. It gets rid of toxins. It creates, chemical substances that you need. It digests the food. It builds up the body. It breaks down the body. You know, it's inside of you. The healing process is inside of you. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, told us, he said, the kingdom of heaven is inside you. It's here. It's amongst us. I am telling you it is as well. You don't have to have these drugs. You know, you don't have to have a constant, therapy process. Yes, it does take time for healing to take place, but if the body does heal, then, things work. And what I do is I jumpstart the healing process. Sometimes, it depends on the case, as I said before, sometimes it is important to have a follow-up program to, monitor that the joints are staying where they belong or working properly and the bones are staying where they belong.
Let me ask you a couple things here. It's just coming to my mind. I'm not trying to interrupt, but when we're born, if we were born, let's say, in a normal, natural water birth position, would the spine come out normal? In other words, or is this something that we grow into? Do all people's spine get and the pelvis get out of alignment? Is this something that's created by conditions that we live in?
Babies are born with forceps. I don't think so much so now. They know that it causes problems, but in the past, they were forcibly extracted from the womb with forceps, pulled out. Anytime you had the head put back in extension and you're putting any kind of force on it, you're going to have a slip or a subluxation, partial dislocation of the head on top. Nobody's looking at these joints as, and they are. Some are, but nobody's handling it right. And he said, they accidentally fix it. They think they know because they have a predisposed idea of what they did. They try to fit the, case around what they thought they did. They don't look at the reality and the actuality of what's actually going on. They don't understand that it's not the atlas. They, don't realize that it is the head, They think that it's the lumbar vertebra. They don't know that it's the pelvis instead. So they've basically been taught wrong, and they're only off by about an inch or two. They're close, But they've been taught wrong. They pay $100,000 plus to get their degree. And believe me, egos rule supreme in the medical industry. I don't care which one you're in. And they just can't seem to take their humility pill to realize, we made a mistake. You know, we've been taught wrong. You know, well, nobody wants to believe it.
That's going to be, don't hold your breath on that. I mean, we're still waiting for truth about the moon and truth about 9/11 and truth about the Vietnam War. And we can go on and on. It's not about to stand up there.
I know. So that's the thing. I'm fighting the ego, basically, in an established paradigm that should be trashed and rebuilt. And as long as it is going to continue to be that fight, change is going to be really, really slow. But I keep praying for, you know, people to realize that, well, you know, they did make a mistake. Either they're embarrassed into it. You know, if the public suddenly became aware and they were more knowledgeable than their doctor, then the public has the means to force the change. Because they're demanding the truth. They're demanding the work, you know. They're demanding their heads and their pelvises to be level. You know, they know to walk into the doctor and tell them, that's what I want you to do, and be in control. You know, right now it's upside down. The doctors think that they're the ones that are in control. They don't realize that, look, the one that's paying you, which is the patient's the reason why they're there. If it wasn't for that patient, they wouldn't have a job. The patient is the boss. People don't understand that. They, you know, They're shuttled through these chutes, you know, for 15 minutes of their doctor's time, and maybe they'll get, you know, 45 seconds. They pay $75 an hour just for the doctor to show up. It's crazy, you know. I don't know why it's the way it is, except for to say it's been going on for time. So I'm bucking the standard.
Well, now, are you able now with the court costs and all that behind you, or court cases, are you able now to set up shop and offer to train people these techniques?
Yes.
I mean, is there any legality in you training people as far as licensing and all that nonsense? Well, I shouldn't say nonsense. I mean, licensing has its good points. It's just that you would hope that the licensor would have the best interest of us involved, and I just don't have the confidence, you know.
Well, I have been dealing with boards for a time, and especially when what happened to my daughter just really shone the light on the fact that the board is not all-knowing, all-powerful, and even ethical, in all honesty. I don't really want to see licensing. I mean, I have the website. I can point to anybody who would learn it, and if people realize that, you know, you contact me if there's a problem, I can put, you know, a blacklist or a whitelist up, you know, the good practitioners, the bad practitioners, the ones I would endorse, the ones I would not, you know, the ones who supposedly learned it or showed up for, you know, 2 weeks worth of time. You know, I can give all that information on the website. So all this overhead,
right,
I guess.
So what if somebody was a naturopath or a chiropractic or a natural doctor and they heard the show, for example, and went to your website and go, oh, I'd love to learn that technique. Would you be willing to train somebody on an individual basis, or are you looking for a, like, for example, the chiropractic system to come to you as a system
to
be trained?
I'm outside the box. I'm entirely and completely outside the box. And being that I am outside the box, and I understand boxes are toxic, it seems, I just as soon keep it outside the box. So, yes, I'm able to teach anybody that wants to learn. It is a confidence move, though. I will say that you have to, you know, feel like you're not going to hurt anybody. Now, I'm a woman. My grandfather, I wasn't exactly his first pick because I'm a woman and I'm tall and lanky. I'm not, you know, short and stout. So he didn't think I was strong enough to do the moves. So that, I was not his pick. It took me like 6 years to convince him that I wasn't going to quit. And then in the end, the very reason why he didn't choose me turned out to be my strongest point. And he said, well, you're not strong enough to hurt anybody, Tammy, is what he told me. So what was my, you know, wall became my ace, basically. So men, you know, and it depends on how much force I use, but that's why I'm always careful, you know, about who I talk to about it as far as showing a doctor anything, because I don't want them to hurt anybody. And that's why I keep telling the state, they were talking public safety. I'm like, yes, it is a matter of public safety, but I'm the only one who's really concerned about it, you know, because I'm asking you all to learn it and then pass the test. You know, I didn't think that was irresponsible of me to ask them to pass the test before they're supposed to be some kind of expert on something they know nothing about. You know, Grandpa always said they think they know it all because they shook the hand of a hand that shook mine. And that's how this work has permeated through the nation. And yes, it is out there, but it's out there in bits and pieces, and nobody's given the credit where it's due. And nobody's, you know, really, nobody's really done it right. You know, which is to pass the test, and that's what I'm insisting on. So I passed the test. I got my certificate.
Pass your test from your grandfather? Is that?
Yeah, from the founder. Yeah.
Right, and you have the
I have the document that says
possible. It's possible. Let's say a group of investors in the medical profession wanted to come by and create a group, a school, if you will, a certification board of some type. That could be put together to train individuals in healthcare professionals in this ability to do this. That might not be a bad idea.
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
Well, then an naturopath or a natural path or a chiropractor can go to this training, be certified, and then have this in their tools. So, I mean, if nothing else, even if this isn't the fix-all type of a solution. I mean, if nothing else, I would see a great business opportunity for alternative medical to put something together like this.
I think they should. Thing is that a lot of alternative medicine, you know, modalities are kind of scrambling right now, I guess you could say, and everybody seems to have their foot in the door on the new wave, basically. So I come along and, sometimes you need to have the follow-up, but I've seen, I mean, two or three sessions could fix the problem, and they don't need anything for a year and a half or better. So there needs to be a correction. I was up in Chicago talking last time we had the interview, and I told the crowd then, I said, it is like a Wall Street correction. It's an expensive correction, you know, because the fees are right now like $50 to deal with the Atlanta-Occipital joint. They deal with it three times a week. They deal with it, you know, on and on and on for months and months. So the overall fee is more like $10,000 or $15,000 that the insurance companies are paying. Well, my grandfather can fix it in the first treatment, follow up a little bit, you know, 2 or 3 months tops, you know. I've followed up 2 or 3 times and the joint is stable. Things work, you know, there's no more pain. So basically, you know, in the system that it is right now, $150 versus $15,000, you know. So the fees need to be reworked. Insurance companies need to realize that this is a superior method and be willing to pay a larger fee in order to get the problem fixed early on instead of milking the system, or basically, you know, the way it works
well,
now.
Well, we're coming down to the end here, so why don't you give people ways they can get in touch with you, find your website and any other information.
My website's nsirtech.com. If you look up Tammy Kennedy, I've been, well, I'm, I think, number 2 right now in Google. My cell phone is 580-402-3375. I keep that with me most times. I have had doctors call from all over the world, and I'm always pleased to answer questions. I'd love to hear from anybody, basically.
All righty. Well, I appreciate you spending time with us, and do what you can to help. And good luck on your endeavors. And let me know if you're in Chicago, and I might take that twist.
Yeah, I might try to get up there again soon.
All right. Well, God bless. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
All righty. Sterling Allen is next, live right after this.
I'm James Othayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio and creator and host of Feet to the Fire. Have you ever noticed the high volume of commercials on most talk shows? It is to the point that it seems like topics are the bait and the guests are the fillers to sell products. I've made a conscious decision to keep disruptions to a minimum and provide more uninterrupted time for the real reason you tuned in. You hear guests with more time to make their points, allowing me and listeners to intuitively and intelligently formulate questions by having less interruptions to break the stream of consciousness. Feet to the Fire may be free to listen to, but it's not free to provide. We rely heavily on donations to offset the expenses of producing the show. If you like what we are doing and enjoy the show,
Why not consider donating via PayPal or a Midget credit card from our website, feedtofire.com, or send your check or money order to Feet to the Fire, 1147 Brook Forest Avenue, Suite 162, Shorewood, Illinois, 60404. Thank you. Could you feed your family for a year, 2 years, or more from your garden if you had to? Do you have the right kind of seeds? Can you save your seeds from your harvest to plant next year? Heirloom Organics non-hybrid seed packs are a sustainable gardening choice of home, homestead, and professional gardeners throughout North America. Heirloom Organic seed packs are designed with your specific space, light, and nutritional needs in mind. A one-pound selection of 22 seed varieties that can feed two people for a year for just $99. Got a family? The family pack has 27 seed varieties to feed a family of four. There's even a homestead pack that has 31 varieties of seeds to feed eight people for 1 year for under $250. And don't forget, these are organically grown and 100% non-genetically modified. And forget the Terminator gene that prevents you from saving seeds for next year's crop. The heirloom organic seeds can be harvested and saved from each generation to be planted the next year. Just go to our website at feedtofire.com and click on the heirloom ad to access a lifetime of natural nutrition and wholesome eating the way it was meant to be.
Thanks for listening to Feet to the Fire with host James Arthur Jancic. Join James Sunday evenings at 9:53 Eastern Time for This Week in Free Energy, a weekly update regarding current developments in the clean, free, and renewable energy sector. To check out archived episodes of This Week in Free Energy, log on to www.freeenergynews.com. Brought to you by the Open Source Energy Network.
This Week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
This Week in Free Energy, May 16, 2010, exploring and reporting on energy systems that tap into the inexhaustible, ubiquitous, and clean source of energy generation, such as solar, wind, tide, and geothermal, but especially exploring those non-conventional avenues and those exotic avenues, such as zero-point energy, radiant energy, cold fusion, and magnet motors. With us today live for our weekly report on Feet to the Fire is Sterling Allen. And Sterling, what do you have for us this week in free energy?
Hi, James. I'm here on our property, the 9 acres we got for our Safe Haven Villages community. We've been working away at our little project here. Built a oven yesterday out of cob. And it was a fun time, different kinds of earth-friendly building technology. In the news this week, Water for Fuel Tech is among the Pepsi Refresh contestants. Kevin West claims to have been able to replicate Stanley Meyer's water car technology on the bench and is nearly done applying it to a vehicle and making a kit for others to do the same. He's entered the monthly Pepsi Refresh contest to draw attention to his work and possibly win $250,000 for his project. If you can go in and vote for his contest, you can do it, for his entrant, you can do it once a day. And tell your friends to do the same. Maybe we can help get some attention to that technology. Orion Free Energy inventor threatened and pulls out. In an update statement, the Orion Project alleges a series of external events that led to their contracted inventor to pull out under pressure from a former CIA director. A couple of other inventors who were likewise threatened and pulled away. Orion announced a database of inventor and suppressed information that will be released in the event that something should happen to one of their directors. Proposed electromagnetic energy grand challenge, the new energy movement, has posted an open letter to the White House from Dr. Fred Wood, who proposes a new grand challenge focused on extracting energy from the active physical vacuum for use in disruptive transformational electromagnetic energy technologies. Wood has both academic and government credentials. Orbo, once again in the news, except this time somebody has a theory, Orbo and magnetic flux gating. while author KV doesn't know of any bona fide free energy proof springing from the Orgo technology, he does think there are several fascinating effects that are worth exploring, which could lead to greater efficiency. There's a preface rebuttal by Store CEO Sean McCarthy, and some interesting dialogue that followed the story as we posted it. A replicator involved in the process, Sean Klanzer from Europe, says that he doesn't know of anyone who's replicated, including himself. He spent a lot of time on that. So apparently the Orgo is more evasive and not as exciting as what we had been led to believe. But there was one person who said he'd replicated it on the microwatt level. And there's also dialogue about some NASA people who were interested in verifying if somebody actually has over unity. They're offering their services. We'll probably be posting a feature page on that. Origin Oil, in the days of the Gulf crisis with the oil seeping out and causing havoc down there, oil from algae is a welcome news story. This is one of our top 100 clean energy technologies, and they take algae from CO2 from power plants, and they're able to convert the algae into fuel, vegetable oil, plastics, and hundreds of other useful products via sound waves and electric pulses that enable the oil to separate out in solution. The first customer has been announced, MBD Energy of Australia. Eneco is a company that used to be in our top 100. They went bankrupt several years ago. Micropower Global of Texas has purchased the IP from the bankrupt Eneco and has secured a relationship with Texas State University to test and perfect the technology so it can be brought to market. This is a thermoelectric solid-state chip technology, so you can harvest waste heat energy. The world's largest laser takes first steps toward nuclear fusion when all of its 192 laser beams are operational later this year. The National Ignition Facility at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory will focus about 2 million joules of ultraviolet laser energy on a tiny target in the center of its target chamber, generating unprecedented temperatures, 100 million degrees, and pressures, 100 billion times the Earth's atmosphere, in the target material. Also talking about lasers, we actually started a new laser.
What's going to stop that? What's going to stop that from like blowing up 100 billion times?
That's what I was thinking. What's going to keep that thing from going into a chain reaction? I don't know. A Swiss breakthrough could mean rain on demand. Researchers from the University of Geneva have reported laser-powered cloud seeding success inside and outside the laboratory. The team fired short 220 millijoule pulses of infrared light from a laser into an illuminated chamber of waste or water-saturated air at minus 24 degrees Celsius and noted the formation of clouds in the laser's wake. Talking about the oil's problem down in the Gulf, I posted a story this week by Paul Noel, a volcano of oil erupting, that 21-inch pipe down there. He talks about how as it comes up through the 5,000 feet of water, salt water, actually a fractionating column, and there was actually a story out of the story that actually was made it into Slashdot, and we got raked over the coals for the diameter, missing the diameter of the pipe. We said 5 feet in our story. It's actually only 21 inches. But meanwhile, the New York Times published a story validating the idea of the column, saying that there's these giant plumes of oil found forming under the Gulf of Mexico, one as large as 10 miles long, 3 miles wide, and 300 feet thick in spots. And scientists studying the video of the gushing oil well have tentatively calculated it could be flowing at rates of 25,000 to 80,000 barrels of oil a day. That's nearly as much as Exxon Valdez spill every day.
God. I see this stuff, I'm thinking, like, this is so unbelievable, and yet I hear stories in the news going, like, well, you know, they're going to put a pipe in there and start harvesting an oil, and we'll see how that helps things out, and they're all acting, you know, kind of, like, nonchalant about it.
On the remedy end of things, a Florida company has offered oil spill remediation powder, ABACO Environmental, that's spelled with two A's, A-A-B-A-C-O, has developed a completely eco-friendly product which can help abate oil-covered waters. The byproduct of sugarcane, the fibers don't dissolve in water but mop up the oil on the surface, and microbes impregnated in the fibers then begin digesting or decomposing the oil into dirt in a natural process, best suited for wetlands.
Hmm.
An inventor, Steve Durnham, from Australia, came up with a detergent, the Holy Grail of infinitely variable transmission. And many other stories like it over at freeenergynews.com. We thank you for joining us for This Week in Free Energy.
All righty, thank you, Sterling.
This Week in Free Energy is brought to you by the PES Network on the web at pureenergysystems.com. Join them online for daily updates at freeenergynews.com.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIG Radio Network of Stations.
You are listening to this program on the IPS network of affiliate stations. Stay tuned for some local affiliate information.
All right, the phones are now cleared and open to take the next caller for our prize giveaway, sponsored by Margie's Beef and Gyros Restaurant in Westmont, Illinois. You must be 18 years or older and have to pick up your prize in person at Margie's within 30 days. The odds are great. The trick is simple. Just call in, and if we answer the phone, you win. 888-863-2722 is that number. When you eat at Margie's, you are a winner every time with their great food and good deals, like their special discount for cash buyers. Every Monday and Tuesday from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m., an order over $30 paid with cash receives an instant discount of $6. It is a great way to break the boring microwave dinner routine without breaking your bank. And this is not a limited selection of items. This cash discount applies to anything they offer. And while you're there, don't forget to pick up the special coupon book with $126 in meal savings from now till December 2010. The coupon book is free, the deals are real, and the food is great. Like me, do you prefer vegetarian or vegan items? Margie's has you covered with sandwiches and dinners made to order. Margie's is located at 6410 South Cass Avenue, just south of 63rd Street on Cass Avenue in Westmont, Illinois. Their phone number is 630-852-3260. Better yet, just surf over to eatatmargies.com for all the information you need, from menus to videos. Remember to call in at 888-863-2722 and win every hour on the hour at Feet to Fire. Choose from a prize list that includes a Hamilton Beach delicate clothes dryer that doubles as a great house fan, a Hamilton Beach blender, a Homedic Shiatsu massager, an infrared massager, percussion massager, a paper shredder, speakerphone, 33-piece kitchen combo set, cookware set, stainless steel flask, inkjet printer cartridges, power stapler, durable ring binder, plus more. View pictures and description of the prizes at duraprint.com. Simply click on the Radio Show Video Archives and Links button on the left menu, and then click List of Prizes with Detailed Descriptions on the right-hand list. That's at duraprint.com. You can choose one prize valued at $50 to $100. You must be 18 years or older, and you have to pick up your prize in person at Margie's within 30 days. One of each prize on the list is available each show. The odds are great. The trick is simple. Call now, and if we answer the phone, you win. 888-863-2722. Call it and win. From Feet to Fire, Duraprint.com, and Margie's Beef and Gyros on the web at www.eatatmargies.com.